Good morning. Last week we discussed the concept of Taman Be'esh. Person lights a fire. He's only responsible for things that are begoli, things that are open. On the other hand, if he burns something which is covered, he's not responsible. That being said, this exemption is only by Eishoy Mishum Memoinoi. Masha'en Kein, if it's Eishoy Mishum Chitzoy, if he's directly lit the fire, then he's going to be responsible by Taman. So if a person is having a barbecue and somehow, and although it's being guarded, somehow a spark flies out and he's pesheya, he doesn't put it out. There, Eishoy Mishum Memoinoi, if it spreads and it's mazik tamun, he does not have to pay. However, if he goes ahead and be a daim, he lights a fire with a ruach mitzuyah, directly spreads. Or if he goes b'toch shel chaveiro and lights a fire, there he's responsible even on tamun. Now, although you're responsible even on Taman when you're madlik b'toch shel chaveiro, nevertheless, the way the Shach learns, there is a chiluk that needs to be made. And that is like this. If a person goes ahead, sees someone in the street, grabs their pocketbook, and throws it into the fire. So the halacha is, whatever is in the pocket, you're a mazik, and whatever is in that pocketbook, you're responsible for. So if somehow they were to establish there was $3 million worth of diamonds hidden there, so it'll be hard to prove, but if she does prove it, you're responsible. Now, you cannot argue it is an oinus gomer. Who in the world walks around with $3 million worth of diamonds in a pocketbook? Because the simple argument is, who asked you to take and be mazik them? When you go ahead and you take it, you're taking that risk, and there's no, when you're mazik biadayim, there's no excuse of an oinus that you didn't expect it to have that kind of value. That being said, the Shach is medayik from the Mechaber, by Eish, this is not always true. And that is, if you're mazik potential chaveroi, and in a case where you're not considered a mazik biadayim, it spreads bipshia. So in that case, although you're responsible, there's no p'tur of tamun, nevertheless, there is a taina of oinus. It's only when you're a mazik biadayim, if you would take a match and directly light that pocketbook, so you're a mazik biadayim, then whatever the value is, you're going to be responsible to pay. There's no p'tur of tamun, there's no p'tur of oinus. However, if the chiv does not come from mazik biadayim, it comes from the fact that you were negligent, you didn't guard it, you didn't watch it, so then, although you're chayiv, nevertheless, there will be a p'tur of oinus. And if it's something which is loy havale lasuke adaite, something which is completely unexpected, you're going to be pater. This is different than the p'tur of tamun. Tamun is, even though if it's expected, but if you're madlik b'toch shaloi, and it's only eshem shememoinoi, there's a p'tur of tamun. Here, even though it's b'toch shal chaveiro, you're chayiv on tamun, nevertheless, there is a p'tur of oinus. Now, whenever you're mazik something which is hidden, we pointed out last week, there is a technical problem. How does the victim prove what was there? As we mentioned, there's a takana sanigzel, which is applies to Eish as well. That special takana, that the victim is nizba v'noitel, he makes a shvua and he's believed, and the mazik has to pay the full amount that the nizik makes a shvua on, as long as he's amun v'kach, as long as it's an amount that makes sense based on this person's, whoever the person is, however wealthy he is. Now, another important halacha that comes out of this sugya, which is relevant for other cases, is the Gemara's mavur. If a person lights a fire, puts a fire on an eved. Person puts on an eved. Is a ritzayach? Let's come with bijam b'nif. What would be if a person goes ahead? The eved is tied up. You put the fire there. The eved can't save himself. But the adzoin, the owner is right there. He has a fire extinguisher. He can put out the fire. On the other hand, he makes a chesed and says, "Listen, you lit the fire. You're going to be responsible for what happened. Why should I go ahead and put out the fire to help you? Let it burn, and you'll pay for the consequences." So over here we find the chiluk between two cases. In a case where you're dealing only with a hezek of mamon, someone lights a match, throws it into Rishus Chaveiroi, the owner is sitting there with a fire extinguisher, he doesn't bother putting it out. He doesn't call 911. The house burns down. There the halacha is, the mazik has to pay for the full damage. The fact that the owner could have saved himself is irrelevant. You're a mazik. You lit the fire. The house burned down as a direct result of the fire. And the fact that the person could have mitigated the hezek is not a p'tur, not a defense. The mazik is going to be responsible for all the damage that he caused. Ma'aseh ein kein, if you're dealing with nefashos, If there's an eved or if there's someone there who's going to get killed, there the adon can say, listen, let him die and this is your problem. There already there's a chiyuv hatzala. He's expected to put it out. And if he doesn't, if the adon just ignores it and lets it go, there already there would be no chiyuv. However, what comes out when you're dealing with niske mamon, when there's no one's life is being threatened, the bailim has no achrayas to mitigate the damage. And even though he could have put out the fire, he could have called 911, he can say, that's not my problem. You want to call 911, do it yourself. You put out the fire. I have no chiyuv to go ahead and to put out the fire in order to save you. Maybe al tashavas aveda, there would be an inyan of doing that, but it would not be a defense when your question is, can the mazik say, I don't have to pay you because you could have taken action, you could have protected yourself. On that, the answer is it's not an excuse, it's not a psur, and you'll have to pay the full value. Now, there are two cases. Taman is chayiv if you're mazik b'toy shel chaveiro. If you light the fire in your friend's field, there's no p'tur of taman. Taman is when you're barbecuing in your backyard and it spreads to your friend. But if you light in your sadeh chaveiro, you're going to be chayiv. The second case is even b'toy sheloi, if it's eshem yishem chitzav. In other words, if you light the fire and with a ruach mitzuyu it's able to spread, eshem yishem chitzav, that's similar to adam hamazik, there's no p'tur of taman. The only case of taman is, Gemara has a case where you lit the fire in your backyard. At the time that you lit the fire, there was a fence. It was well guarded. Nothing could happen. Afterwards, the fence fell down, and you were negligent. You didn't contain it, and it spread. There, you're responsible. There's a p'tor of tamar. But in most cases, you're going to be chayav because it'll be either eshem yishem chitzav or maluch p'tor shel chaveira. Rosh and Mitsuya is pater. There's no chayav. However, if something unusual happened, but then afterwards, the owner can still stop it. Then it seems, you know, if the fence falls down, Baruch Shein Mitzuya. But now the owner's sitting there. There's a fire raging in his backyard. And with a Baruch Mitzuya, it will now spread. If he has the ability to put it out, then he would have a chiyuv to do so. So, okay, very good. So the case, the discussion over here is a direct case of Adam Hamazik. Shlomo Zalman Orbach in Ma'ari Eish says, and it's very mistabril, that he says that's only by Adam Hamazik. Masha'enkein, when it's Mamun Hamazik, there the halacha will be different. And therefore, if you notice someone's shar sauntering into your property and starts eating, there if you can stop the shar from continuing to eat and you don't do so, the owner is not going to be responsible. He'll only have to pay for that first round of damages. Once the owner is able to stop it, my mom and Hamasik, he says, then it's if he doesn't mitigate the damage, he'll have no tviya. And he limits this to a case of Adam Hamasik. Well, again, pshia, you mean what? And if it's case of Adam Hamazik, if it's Eish Mishum Chitzov, where you went ahead, you lit a fire, you lit a fire in your backyard where the Ruach Mitzuya will burn down his house, so you can't rely on him to go protect the house. If you don't want to be responsible, don't do something that's recklessly negligent. Now, when you're dealing with Groma or Garmi, it's very mistavra that this won't apply. Because for the very simple reason that Garmi always needs Bari Hezekah, I directly cause the damage. If all you have to do is call 911, that's a typical thing that would happen. Arguably, that's not a Bari Hezekah. But again, that you can clear over there. But the case that we see this halacha is a case with direct Adam Hamasik. Although it's not discussed over here, it's very mistavra al tashavas aveda. It's a funny case. The owner should put it out to hashavas aveda to save the mazik. And I agree. But hashavas aveda doesn't create a chiyuv mamon if he neglects to do so. And it's not a chiyuv on the bailim more than anybody else. So it's certainly the right thing to do because otherwise you're going to be mafsid the mazik. But the question is, if you don't do that, is this a defense that the mazik has? I'm not a mazik, you could have protected yourself. I agree. And I agree there's a al tashavas aveda, there would be a chiyuv to do it. But if you don't do it, the question is can the mazik say, I'm not a mazik, you brought this on yourself? And the answer is no. Since the mazik be a dayim, went ahead and caused the damage, the fact that there was someone able to be matzil doesn't take away. And it's if you burn down someone's house and the fire department is sitting there with hoses right there and they decide not to put out the fire, bottom line is, the mazik is the one that burnt down the house, and he'll be responsible. Now, whether it's the owner that was negligent, the fire department, or anybody else, is not a defense for the mazik. The Gemara has a case which we'll see. We'll have to deal with in a number of cases where we're going to deal with age. There's going to be a svar that will come up, and that is, the Gemara talks about where a person put poison in front of behemas chaveret. So the Gemara says, "You're chayiv bidei shemayim, but you're patur bidei adam. You don't have to pay, but there's chayiv latzis bidei shemayim because you caused the death, you were goyrim the hezek, but there's no chayiv bidei adam. Why? So this is a machlokes rishonim. The Rosh seems to learn because animal poison doesn't taste very good, and animals generally don't eat it. So the animal had no business eating it. If it went ahead, it did something unusual, did something strange. On one hand, the person who put it there is responsible bidei shemayim, because why are you taking risks with other people's animals? It does happen. So bidei shemayim, there will be a chiyuv. However, since it's unusual, since animals typically will not eat the poison or will not eat enough poison, you're going to be patur bidei adam. Taisus is mashma not like that. Taisus is mashma, and it's really the mashmois of the Gemara, that no. The case is where you put the poison inside fruits, which are perfectly edible, it's perfectly natural. Nevertheless, when you're dealing with the chiyuv of adam hamazik, you're only responsible when you're a mazik biyadayim, when you directly cause the damage. Masha'en came when the nizik brings the damage upon themselves. When the nizik plays an active role in the damage, there, according to Taisus, the chiddush of this case is that there is no chiyuv bidei adam. Since in this case the animal is the one that ingested the poison, so even though it was expected, it's normal for it to, if there are fruits lying around, it will eat it. It doesn't know the apple is poisoned. Nevertheless, because it ate it, it brought it upon itself. There's only chiyuv bidei shemayim. There would not be a chiyuv mamon. Yeah, that is the way Taisus learns it. The Pashat Gemara, the Rosh is matre, that it means it ate a lot of it, enough to die. Which havalei shlo teichol, why is it eating so much? But okay, the Pashat Gemara is like Taisus. So this is an important yesod that even though it's normal for it to happen, it's shchiach. Nevertheless, there's no chiyuv. Now the Chazon Ish asks every bar you should have this argument. If you dig a ditch in the middle of the street, the victim comes and walks and falls into the bar. Why don't we say havolei shaloi lipol? He shouldn't have fallen in. So now he says there's a difference. In the case of the bar, the person's walking in the street. He's not trying to fall into a bar. He's trying to walk down the block. There's a bar that he doesn't notice. He falls in. So even though he walked into it, his intention was just to walk, not to fall into a bar, and there you don't have the svar. Ma'ashe'en came when the animal ate the fruits, even though it didn't know the fruits had poison in it. But nevertheless, it be a dayim, or it was consciously and deliberately eating what was in front of it. So since what was in front of it was poisoned, it is playing a role in this action, and therefore you're going to have the patur b'dei adam of havalei shaloi teicha. Now, this brings us to probably the most famous shayla, at least in yeshiva, in Hilchas Eish. There was a maisa in Eretz Yisrael where a store, sold salt labeled as sugar. A woman came in, bought the salt. Now, let's assume the store owner was Peshea. He either knew about it or at least was negligent. He bought the salt / sugar and put it into the chalent, and she ruined the chalent. The question is the store owner responsible to pay for the damage caused to the chalent? So in Hilchos Adam HaMazik, it's a little bit tough. Because the store owner, it's one thing if I go into your house, I sneak into your house one day, there's chalent on the blech, I dump in some salt or some sugar, I'm a mazik biyadaya. I actually went ahead and I ruined your chalent. In this case, the store owner didn't do anything. They just sold mislabeled salt. So are they responsible for the fact that it ends up ruining the chalent? Zakr b'shal mazalman, chiddush, you're chayiv misham esh. He says, like bar ha-misgalgal. Just like if you put something in the street, and an animal, beruach mitzuyo, an animal, a person comes by, kicks it, and while it's going, it causes damage. That is bar ha-misgalgal, baragli adam, baragli behema, which the way Taisus learns is a chayiv misham esh. Because since you put something where with a ruach mitzuyo it will travel and cause damage, that is a chiyuv esh. So putting salt or mislabeled salt in a container, since the ruach metzuya, it's normal for a person to go ahead and take it and put it into food, he says that is bar misgal ragli adam, and you're going to be chayiv mishum ish. Now, there were a number of chedushim, shayos on this, but one of the kashos, why don't you have the concept of havalei shloi teicha? Over here, the victim is going ahead and putting, and biadayim, taking the salt, sugar, and putting it into the jalan. They're bringing it upon themselves. So why don't we say that since the victim is doing it on their own, there's havalei shloi teicha, and therefore there should be no chiyuv bidei adam. Yeah, the case is you're putting fruits in front of an animal. The animal's going to eat it. That's what happens when you put fruits in front of an animal. If an animal eats it, they're not responsible for the damage. You were pesheh, you put it there. So if it's poisoned and it brought the damage upon itself, you're not the mazik. Because the ma'isa hezek, it brought the hezek upon itself. The lashon of Tosfos. So not because it did it shaloi kedin, not because the behema b'shoigig is being over in Isser Gezel, it's because it brought the hezek upon itself. And that's true in this case as well.
So you mislabel the medication and give the wrong medication to bad guys.
Now, so Rav Shlomo Zalman over here says... the hezek is the challenge is not edible. Oh yeah, enechanami. So if you hold that if the cook should have checked it before, so then enechanami, then you're not going to be able to mechayev him either al tzgarmi or any svara because it's better than havalei shloi teichal. It's their own pshia, but that's assuming you taste the salt before you put it into the challenge. That usually doesn't want to happen. Usually you put it in and hopefully you'll taste it before you serve it, but at that point it's too late. It's ruined. So Rav Shlomo Zalman has a very interesting cheshbon. He says, it's one thing, he says, if you go ahead, you have a bunch of bochrim in a dira, they buy the salt, they put it into their cholent, and they ruin it. So perhaps you have a svara of havalei shloi teicha. He says, over here, the woman bought the salt sugar and put it into the cholent. So the cholent, b'derek klal, is going to belong to the husband. It was bought with his money, the food house belongs to him. So over here, you don't have if the owner goes ahead and brings it on himself, havalei shloi teicha. Over here, we have a third party, Bishoyge, going ahead and putting it. That is like the case of Bara Misgaga Bragla Yodam. When an animal kicks the bar and it hits someone on the way, you don't say it's a tain on the animal, why'd you kick it? The animal was walking, it was Kedarka, it wasn't a Pshia. So putting it in a place where a third party will innocently cause damage with it, there's a Chiyav Avesh. So over here he says, since the lady that's doing it, it's not her child, the Nizik is not bringing it on herself, so even though she's the one that's allowed to take care of she's the cook, but nevertheless, because she's damaging the husband's chalent, he's mitzadeh that the svara won't apply and there will be a chiv. Now others say that there's a chiv of garmi. Again, that's a separate shmuz, and if it's garmi, then it's not totally in the sugi at all. But I'll call upon him the idea that we see that Eish is a very good way, when you're dealing with a hezek, but it's not direct, Eish is a very good way to expand a person's chiyuvim. Because it's kayach acham urva, because you're just setting it up, but there's some other kayach is causing the hezek, many cases where might otherwise be patur because of gromo or garmi and that sugya, you have to can be mechayev him because of the sugya of Eish. Now one last critical halacha, and that is, although the normal case of Eish is you light a fire, the fire spreads and is mazik, it destroys something. The Gemara says, "Akayifiv kamas chaver b'fnei Eish." If instead of moving the fire to the victim, what you do is, there's a fire raging. You go ahead, you take your friend's item, and you move it close to the Eish, you move it near the fire. So then, if you put it in a place where through a ruach mitzuya, the fire will burn it, you're responsible. This is the same chiyuv of Eish, is whether you bring the Eish to the victim or whether you bring the victim's item to the Eish. Since you put it within range of the Eish, you're going to be responsible. If you put it in a place where it can only reach Baruch She'enu Metzuya, and you have the bad mazel that a strong wind comes and causes damage, there's no chiyuv bidei Adam, but there is, however, a chiyuv bidei Shemayim. So we see here, that you can be a mazik biyadayim without actually lighting the fire. Nevertheless, because you're bringing the thing close to the fire, you're putting it in harm's way, that is enough to be responsible. Now, this opens up an entire whole new discussion, which has nafkaminas throughout Chol Hashem Mishpat and through Aruch Chaim in many other areas, and that is, to what extent or how far do we go defining a person's actions? If a person does something and there's a chain reaction and it causes, the end result is a certain way, how far back do we go? When is a person responsible? When is a person not responsible? Now, as we're going to see, there are quite a number of sugyas. I'm going to try to go through this methodically. As a hakdama, there is a tremendous amount of different machlokes, and we're going to see every time, every shaila involving electricity on Shabbos, really, to a large degree, comes back to this question of eish and questions of grama, kayach sheni, to what extent a person's actions are nisiachas to him. Opening a refrigerator, all these questions where you're causing motors to go on, you're causing circuits to be made or to be broken, as we're going to see, is very much dependent on our sugya. So let's begin with the basics. Adam Hamazik, the normal case is, a person takes a brick, he smashes a window. That's a direct Maisa Adam. Even though you're using a brick, nevertheless, you smashed it, it's the Kayach Adam, and certainly that's a person, Adam or L'Olam, a person is going to be responsible. Now the same thing is true if a person leans on something, or if he's a bit heavy, and he steps on something, and he destroys it. That also, that's Adam Hamazik. He's not smashing it, he's not using his Kayach, but nevertheless, using his weight and destroying something through his weight is also going to be Adam Hamasek. There's Gemara and we passed in as well. Another case, a person spits, and that spit is Mazik as soon as it hits. So because it came from the person, it's part of the person, he's going to be responsible, that's going to be Adam Hamasek. So let's change the case slightly. I'm not sure when you spit on something how much damage you can really cause. I guess it means it's clothing or something which you stain or somehow cause damage to. What happens if a person is not feeling well? He has a virus, but there's a shiur Sunday morning he really doesn't want to miss. So he comes, even though he's under the weather, he's moiser nefesh, he comes, sits down in the back of the room, and at some point he coughs. Little saliva goes, hits the fellow next to him, and the next Sunday the fellow next to him is sick. Is the first person responsible for spreading the disease? Now, I think we can all agree, if you take poison and you throw it into someone's mouth, that's Adam Hamazik. Although the poison, there's a whole, what the cabal poison kills someone, who knows, there's a whole chain of chemical reaction, however it works. But you doing that, that's Adam Hamazik. So in Cain, if you have a disease, your saliva is infected, and by you coughing, it is going directly on to your chaver. L'chayr, you can be mechayiv him for Adam Hamazik as well. What? Is it Bari Hezeka? Well, if you take poison, it only kills half the people, and you'd put it into him. You know, when you deal with Garmi, when it's indirect, we have to deal with, is it Bari Hezeka or not Bari Hezeka? On the other hand, if you're dealing with a Maisi B'Yadayim, you poison the person, the fact that, you know, 30% of the people survive this kind of poison and they manage is not going to be a patur. Okay, we'll get to that in a minute. The case that I gave was where he coughed and it went right into his mouth. I used that case Badafka where I wanted a mice to be a dime going directly in. Correct. It's like this. The Beis Shlomo has a similar story where a person, this is involved animals, a person was, he took care of animals for people. Someone brings him a bunch of sheep to watch, and after a week or so, he starts noticing the sheep are all lethargic, they don't seem to be doing very well. Then suddenly, two of the sheep dies, and it turns out they have mad cow disease. Now, besides the fact that he has to get rid of these, he has tremendous hezekos because all the other sheep that he have has to be put down. The Board of Health came in, they gave him tremendous knossos, he got into big trouble. He had tremendous hefsed. So he was teveya, the first person, said, listen, you introduced this disease to my flock, you're responsible. Now, it turns out that this person, before he had given over the flock, he had two other animals that apparently had died of mad cow disease. But he says, listen, it's true. It was in my flock. I actually denied it, but it wasn't a nice thing for me to do. But who says that the other sheep caught it from mine? Maybe they caught it somewhere else. So the Yeshlaim goes through a number of cheshbonos. He says like this. He says, if you're able to prove that it went directly from one animal to the next, he said, that would be mazik biyadayim. That would be, not Adam, but it's the behema doing a direct hezek. And he says, you'd be responsible. However, he says, very often, this particular disease, the way it's spread, is the animal eats. There's leftover food. The next animal comes, it sees the leftover food, it doesn't realize there's saliva in it, it goes in and eats it. Zok de Veshlamo. In that case, that's mamish hanoisin samamavus l'nei behemus chaveri, where we say havelish le'teicha, where it ate it on its own. So in a chanami, leftover food, it's normal for the animals to eat, so according to the Rosh, you're going to be chayev. But according to Tosis, where the havelish le'teicha is, even if it's normal, because it brought it upon itself. So if one animal went and ate the other's leftovers, and through that it caught the disease, that's noisin samamavus, and says you're going to be patur. Now, Elamai, the case is there was no sharing of food. They were different flocks. They were careful not to do it. So then he says, in theory, you'd be chayiv. However, as you pointed out correctly, it's going to be very hard to prove. Because although we know that in the flock there was already 2 weeks ago that one of the sheep died from this disease, and now suddenly it spread in the whole among everyone else's sheep. So it's certainly likely that we know where it came from. However, is it muchach? No, it could be as a coincidence, the same way Shimon's sheep caught the disease, someone else's sheep caught the disease. Now, is it likely? Certainly not. If you want to know where the preponderance of evidence is, certainly it's more likely, and it's mistavra, that it came from this person who introduced, whose sheep had been sick. However, the rule is hamoitzi mechadei alvaraya. You cannot be moitzi moment simply because there's a svara, because statistically it is more likely. You need a raya brura. And you're going to be very hard pressed to come up with a raya brura that this pandemic was caused by your sheep. And in absence of a raya, even though it's mistavra, you're not going to be able to be meitzi mamon. I guess today you can do some DNA analysis, figure out where it came from, perhaps. But in the absence of that, you're not going to be able to be mechayev him, even though it's likely that it came from there. So now, besides for this, even if you can prove that this epidemic started from Shimon's sheep, in all likelihood, you can probably only be mechayev them for the first generation. Because halacha is, by hishach bodes anochash, there's a machoikis, if you take a snake and you put a person's hand literally in the snake's mouth and it bites it. So the man the Yomer holds that it's potter. And the reason for that is that if there's a question of where the venom of the snake comes from, if it's always there, and once you put the person's finger in the snake's mouth, it's bari hazeket, koyachachem, it's eish, or perhaps even adam hamazik, you're going to be responsible. However, if you hold that the snake produces the poison upon demand when it needs it, so then when you did your action, when you put his finger in there, the poison was not ba'ilum yet. So even though you know it will be produced and it will bite him, nevertheless, that's not your ma'isa. Your ma'isa has to be where the thing that was mazik, the thing that killed, was already boiling. Now what that would mean is that if a person goes ahead and his animal directly spreads his virus, his disease, to the next animal, he'll be responsible if you can prove that it came from him. However, if then in that animal it reproduces and there's a second generation and third generation, and now there are all sorts of new viruses, that was not boilum. So even though you know what's going to happen, it's avi dasi, nevertheless, it's like the case of the errors, which is not boilum at the time you did your action, and therefore you're not going to be able to mechayev him. So even in the best case, where you can prove the disease, you were the source of the disease, you could only be mechayev him on the first generation, but then when he spreads it, when there's a pandemic that wipes out half the planet, you're only going to be responsible for the first death. Now, the truth is, the Sefer HaChassidim, Taka, writes that a person who has a mukosh shchin, he says, is not allowed to go to the mikveh or wash himself with other people unless he's medea him. Because it says, and so there certainly is a person who is sick, a person who has a contagious disease, certainly has a chiyuv to stay away from people, or in the very least to be medea them, let them make their own decisions. But however, to expose them to the disease without asking them, certainly you're being over on lesamen adam reyecha and the haftar reyecha. However, to bring them to Bezdin, them for nezek, tzar, ripo, shevis, and boishas, alt adam hamazik, there, in theory, you could, but in practice, it's going to be virtually impossible to win, to actually prove that you were the direct source of the actual hezek. Yeah? If it's something which is contagious, and by you going in... Again, you should, when you park in Harlem, it's very shy if your hubcaps won't be there when you come back. But the Maya, if you're doing something which is exposing people to risk, who asks you to do it? Be my dear them. You can tell everyone in the mikvah, by the way, I have a cold. But to go ahead and to expose them to that risk without being my dear them, l'chayr should be also. I mean, wherever you're going, if you have something which is contagious and you're exposing other people to it, so mechateisa. Maybe, unless you tell me a cold, people are makabel, they're not makbid on, maybe. But certainly if there's anything more serious, or you need a person's mechila to go ahead and to take the liberty of exposing them to a disease without their rishos. Okay, so this is all adam hamazik, where a person is directly doing something which is causing a hezek. The Shuvas Arash actually has a mechudish dika case. He was talking, there was a chasana, and people went out to greet the chasin, and it was a little bit rowdy apparently. So one of the people greeting the chasin was driving his horse a little bit recklessly. I don't know, perhaps he was drinking and riding. And his horse smashed into the chasin's horse, and there was all sorts of damages. So the chasin was teveya, the fellow for the damage that he caused. And the person said he had a bunch of reasons why he felt he was patur. But one of the reasons was, he says, is one of the discussions was, why is he chayiv? Is this adam hamazik? Is this shar? Is this keren? Is this shchiach? Is it not shchiach? Zog the tshuva z'rosh ha-chiddush. He said, since you were driving the horse, you were riding it, he says, this is called adam hamazik. He said, adarabu. And he said, so the rosh is being machadish, that even though it's not the koyach ha-adam that's causing the damage, you're not running it. If you take a horse and throw it onto the person, that's adam hamazik. Here, adraba, it's the koyach of the horse. It's the horse that's smashing into the chasin. Nevertheless, because you're riding it and you have complete control of it, you're pushing it, you're guiding it, and you have complete control over how it goes, that Rosh is mechadesh, has a din of adam hamazik. Now, similarly, if a person is holding something, he's holding a beam, and he stops in the middle of the street, it stops short, someone smashes into him, that is not looked at as bar, that is looked at as adam hamazik. Because he's supporting it, because he's holding it, is considered part of his guf. And therefore, just like if you bump into a person, you don't say sharvel adam chamov v'kelem, you don't say it's a din of bar, it has a din of an adam. Hu hadin, anything which he's holding, anything which is an extension of him, that also would have a din of adam hamazik as well. If you're driving a car, certainly the same halacha would apply. If you hit something, you can't say it's not me, it's the car, I was just pressing the gas, I'm a grommel, it's a kayach rishon, kayach sheni, bitka demaya. The bottom line is, it's your kayach, you're guiding it, and therefore, based on this rush, the theory there would be a chiyuv. So this is a case of adam hamazik, where he does it directly with his kayach, and this is a clear case of chiyuv. The Gemara in Makkos introduces a new concept of kayach kayachai. Now, the machloek is exactly what the case is, but person takes a rock, he throws it at a tree, the knocks off a coconut, the coconut falls down and kills someone. So that is not his kayach. It's not, if you threw the rock directly at the person, that's kayach adam. Over here, the rock hit the tree, now the coconut fell, and it hit a person. That is kayach kayachai. It's actually a machloekis. Rabbi Yehuda says you need another generation. You need that the coconut went ahead and hit something else, and that thing went and killed the person. So what's a mavur over there is that kayach kayachai is pater. You do not go to galus. A person is responsible for his actions when he does something directly. When it's indirect, he threw it, but there's just this chain reaction. Then afterwards, the thing falls down. It's kayach kayachai. There already, there is no chi of galus. Now, the Gemara is talking about galus. What about niske mamon? So here we have an interesting case of a shor, and in Simon Shin Sadi, it's what the Mechaber paskins without any choylik, that if a shor goes ahead and kicks something, it breaks a keli. A piece of that keli goes ahead and smashes something else. So we're dealing with kayach kaychay. So over there, the halacha is halacha mufreshes in Shulchan Aruch, you're chayef. The kayach kaychay of a shor, you're going to be responsible for the damage. Now this is a pella. When a person goes ahead and throws something and kayach kaychay, he's off the hook. When a shor goes ahead and does it, kayach kaychay, he has to pay. How could it be? How could a shor be more responsible for his actions than a person? So what the way many achrayim explain, and the medayik this in the rishayim, is that really everyone agrees, kayach kayachai, if a person goes ahead and is mazik through kayach kayachai, he's going to be responsible. Adamur la'olam, you're responsible for what happens. When you're dealing with galus, galus already has a higher bar. The chi of galus is only by a shaygig. When you threw it at the tree and then the coconut fell and it had the bad mazel, someone had to have been there, that's not called a shaygig. That's already in the Lashon Rambam, is that's called an oinus. That is something which, and the chi of galus will not apply. Galus needs a higher madrega, more directly nesaches to you, more of your of a shaygig. Once it's second generation, that's no longer called a shaygig, you're going to be patur. Ma'ashenken, we're dealing with niske mamon. Niske mamon, there's a much higher bar. By an adam amazik, certainly adam ur lo'olam, even by an oinus, by a regular, by many oinsin, you're going to be responsible. And who hides in by a shor? Even though it's kayach kayachai, even though it might be less than a shaygig, nevertheless, the Torah says, when you have to guard your mamon, you have to guard it even from a kayach kayach, and that's why in Simon Shin Sadi, you're going to be responsible by an animal by kayach kayach kayachai. Oh, very good. So what we're saying now is that kayach kayachai really is your action. That's why a shor is chayav by mamon, and galus is only because of the din of shoygig. So it comes out then, api cheshbon, that if you have it planned out, then there should be a chi of misa. Now again, misa might be different than mamon. So we don't have a right. The fact that you're chayav mamon, if you do it, doesn't prove that you're chayav misa if you do it bekavan. We'll see there are Rishonim, there are Machalik between the two, but conceptually, yes. Conceptually, we are saying it is your action, that's why there's a Chiyav Mamon, and therefore it's very likely there'll be a Chiyav Misa. Which means if you have a stack of dominoes, and you push one, and it knocks at the next one, and knocks the next one, and then at the end of the line, somehow it's Mazik. So by Hezek, you're certainly going to be responsible. By Galus, even by Galus in this case, you'd be hard-pressed to really say this is an Oinus, if there's just a stack of dominoes over there. So it's you talking over there, you won't have the tain of oinus. And by misa as well, since it's you know directly it's going to happen, pashtus there would be a chiyuv. Now in Simon Shin Sadi Beis, there are shitas, depends how you learn, the way the goyin learns, there seems to be a halacha that kaya kaya is potter. We're out of time, so without, just to say briefly, even if you're potter by mom and amai, there's makom to say that if your animal is mazal b'kayach kayachai, there it could be your potter, because when the Torah is mechayev you for your animals, it's only for your direct actions. Kayach kayachai is potter. However, when it comes to an adam hamazik, an adam that's mazal with kayach kayachai, there you don't find anyone that holds that you're potter. And therefore, it's pashas lahalacha, but if an adam is mazik, even though there are a few different generations, you hit one thing, it hits the next thing, but when you're dealing with niske mamon, there's a chiyuv, even though in galus there is a ptur. Now, the question, of course, that this leads us to is, what about every machine? Or every time a car, where all you're doing is you're pressing down on a pedal, there's a whole chain of reaction, a whole bunch of things that have to happen to actually make it move. It's very mistavro, this is kayach kayach, this is all direct hemshech of your actions, So we see clearly, at least in this case, Mammon, there's a chiyuv. By Golos, we see there's a p'tur, but the p'tur is only because of an oinus, and therefore it's hard to argue that there's an oinus, that you didn't know that when you press down the pedal in the car, it's going to move forward. So you're not going to have the p'tur of oinus. It's mashma, even in Golos, you'd also have a chiyuv. What we haven't addressed is what happens if we're dealing with grumos, or what happens if your action doesn't directly cause something, but it indirectly causes it, and that, in Ritz Hashem, we'll discuss next week.